Well, I appreciate you being here tonight on this Saturday evening. I've enjoyed this music, haven't you? It all week long. Appreciate all those who have had a part and Brother Don leading this music. I always enjoy music, I understand. I run that by you again. I always enjoy music, I understand. I remember some years ago I was invited to go listen to a particular group sing in another church, another denomination, and a friend of mine had invited me, and I went, and it was back in the restaurant that they owned, and they said to me when I was there, they said, "Brother Gunner, how do you like that music?" I said, "Well..." And they wanted me to really be upfront with them. I said, "I really enjoyed the music that I understood, but I didn't understand all of it." And she smiled. She said, "I know exactly what you're saying." But Nana and I have been blessed. We've been across our church, and we've heard all kinds of music. And some of it we've fully enjoyed and understood. In other places, I'd need to get her to interpret it. She's more musical-minded than I am. But altogether, if it's to worship God, that's what counts. And I just want to say thanks to the musicians, to all of you. I may not take that time in the morning to do it, but I just want to say thanks to you. Now, we'll be preaching in the morning. My wife and I have been doing this now for 53-plus years. I was very young when she asked me to get married. And we've been doing this together all these years. And so we decided in this particular week that she would close it out. So that'll work out all right. And if it's not all right, tell me Monday. But what a delight it is to be with you. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will, for the reading of the Word. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. And I shall begin reading with verse 5. Hebrews chapter 2. And begin reading with verse 5. "It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, 'What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him, yet at present we do not see anything, we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Father, thank you for your word and for your presence. We thank you for all that's been accomplished this week and now this service. It's in your hands. Without you, we can do nothing. And so tonight we pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to lift up Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. In this ninth verse, we see these words, "We see Jesus." In chapter 3, verse 1, the writer says, "Fix your thoughts on Jesus." In chapter 12, verse 2, it reads, "We wish," or "let us fix our eyes on Jesus." And in John chapter 12, verse 21, it says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now look at these different verses for a moment. Here the writer is saying in Hebrews 12, fix your eyes on Jesus. In chapter 3, he is saying, fix your thoughts on Jesus. And John is saying, we wish to see Jesus. But in chapter 2, he says, we see Jesus. Now, there's a vast difference in wishing to see Jesus and seeing Jesus. And so tonight, as the Lord shall help me, I want to talk to you from this text. We see Jesus. The writer begins with a question from Psalms 8. Verses 4 to 6, it's in this psalm that sings the glory that God gave to man. Man was meant to have dominion over everything, but he has not. Man is a creature who is frustrated by his own circumstances and defeated by his temptation. He who should be free is bound. He who should be a king is a slave. And it was into this kind of world of frustration and defeat that Jesus came. For 4,000 years, the world had looked for a deliverer. They had looked for him on thrones. They had looked for him in palaces. They had looked for him at the head of marching armies. And then he for whom prophets spake, the Savior for whom saints long came, that Jesus is here. If you go back and study the gospel writings of the New Testament, you'll find that Matthew saw him as the Messiah and King of the Jews. Mark saw him as the mighty world worker and hope of the Gentile world. Luke describes him as the Son of Man and Savior of all. John saw him as the Son of God and deliverer of whomsoever would come to him. There have been other writers who have tried and have attempted to describe him, and they have done a wonderful job. For example, the late Dr. J.B. Chapman, former general superintendent of the Church of the Nazarene, wrote, he said that his salvation is bread to the hungry. He's water to the thirsty. He's rest to the weary. He's a refuge to the fearful. He's cure to the sick. He's life to the dying. He's liberty to the oppressed. He's freedom to the imprisoned. He's friendship to the lonely. He's peace to the distressed. He's beauty to those whose lot is ashes. He's the all of joy to those who mourn. He's a garment of praise to the bereaved. He's a shepherd and sheepfold to those who are lost and straying. He went on to write, he's riches to the poor. He's wisdom to the ignorant. He's victory to the soldier. He's a prize to the racer. He's jubilee to the slave. He's a message to the preacher. He's justice to the lawyer. He's pardon to the criminal. He's adoption to the stranger. And he's a song to the poet. What a description. The songwriter penned the words that Jesus is all we need. When I am burdened or weary and sad, Jesus is all I need. Never he fails to uplift and make glad. Jesus is all I need. When through the valley he calls me to go, Jesus is all I need. He will be with me to cheer me, I know. Jesus is all I need. And aren't you glad that's true tonight? Dr. McCumber, one of my favorite preachers, and you've heard him preach, wrote about Him and described Him. He said that, "What is your name?" "Well, on my mother's side, my name is Jesus. But on my father's side, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm from the beginning and the end. I'm the author of salvation. I am the bread of life. I am the counselor, the creator, the rising sun, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000. I'm the rose of Sharon. I am the good shepherd. I am the great high priest. I am the great I am. I am the King of kings. I am the Lord of lords. I am the Lamb of glory. I am the Son of God. I am the Son of man." "Well, how old are you?" "Well, on my mother's side, I'm from old and ancient times. I was before Abraham was born. I'm older than the world. I'm older than creation. I'm without the beginning of days or the end of life." "Well, who are your parents?" "Well, on my mother's side, her name is Mary. But on my father's side, I'm without father or mother. I'm without genealogy. I'm God's only begotten son." "Well, where are you from?" "Well, on my mother's side, I was born in Bethlehem. I lived in Egypt for a while, really in Nazareth. But on my father's side, I came from the heavenly realms beyond the parameters of this world. I came from the throne of God. I passed the gates of glory. My hometown is the New Jerusalem." "Well, what is your trade?" "Well, on my mother's side, I'm a carpenter. I'm a worker of wood, but on my father's side, I'm a teacher of timeless truths. I'm a creator like never seen before. I'm the author of the greatest story ever told. I'm a physician with unlimited skills. I'm a sustainer of all life. I can do all things. Nothing is too hard for me." Praise His name. Well, I'll preach to you in a minute, but I'll give you a few more of these. E.V. Hill writes, he said, "His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness. His yoke is easy. And His burden is light." He went on to write, he said, "You can't get Him out of your mind. You can't get Him off of your hands. You can't outlive Him and you can't live without Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. The Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. Death couldn't handle Him and the grave couldn't hold Him. The songwriter picked it up and said, 'He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, and He talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.'" And I want to tell you, my friend, tonight, every once in a while, we ought to get blessed over the fact that God is alive forevermore. He's present with us and abides with us. He lives in our souls, and we ought to get blessed over it. E.V. Hill says, "You can trust Him. There was no one before Him, and there won't be anyone after Him. He has no predecessor, and He'll have no successor. You can't impeach Him, and He's not going to resign. You can't run Him out of office, and you can't run your office without Him." Praise His name. Aren't you glad for Jesus tonight? Well, what does someone like this have to offer us? Many things. But there are three basic things that I want to share with you tonight. And this speaks to my own heart. First of all, He offers to us hope in a hopeless world. Hope is one of the dearest words in our Christian vocabulary. Mark alludes to this in his writings. In the Gospel of Mark, that Christ gave hope to the man sick with palsy. He gave hope to the disciples when they were on the storm of the Sea of Galilee that I spoke about the other night. It was hope that kept missionary Carey during the early days of heavy setback in India and rewarded him at last. It was hope that kept missionary Judson preaching every day for 14 years in Burma without seeing a single convert, and then writing, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." Just a few years ago, Nana and I had the privilege to visit the church and the area where he started the ministry. I shall never forget that morning as we walked into that great auditorium that now stands there. And I walked down and I said to Nana, "I want to go to the platform." And I walked up to the platform and took a look out over that great auditorium. And I thought, here a man stood and preached all these many years and didn't see a convert. And yet he writes, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." And God did give the breakthrough. I was in Mozambique, Nana and I, in 1987. We were on work for the church, the general church, in regional conferences back in South Africa. We made this side trip over into Mozambique. Some of you that read the missionary book of Armand Dahl, where he had been in prison, and the Toothpaste Express book came out of that. We were there, stayed in a hotel not far from where he was in prison, right down the street. Security was tight in that area. We were not allowed to walk out of the hotel during the day while we were waiting for the service. They said, "It's too dangerous. Stay inside until we pull up right to the gate to get you, or to the door of the hotel." Much I could tell you about the flight going in there. But while we were in that service, they had told us about what had occurred. The insurgents from the north would move into the villages and would take what spoils they wanted, and then oftentimes set the villages on fire. And they told us of how that on one occasion that a group came into one of the little villages and had set it on fire, taken the goods, and had taken five couples just outside of the outskirts of the little village, and how that the men were forced to lay on the ground and the women were forced to take rocks and crush their husbands' heads into the ground. They told of how that the women were raped. They told of how that one of the Nazarene pastors had to stand while these insurgents took a rifle and killed his son for no reason at all. And yet, that night in that missionary rally, they invited us to stand, and they presented us with the gift. If you were to visit our home, you would see it. It's not worth very much. A little medicine deal, how they would put the medicine down there and then break it up. They presented that to us. And that night they said to us, "Wherever you go, tell the people thank you for sending the missionaries to come to our area and tell us about Jesus. For now, we have hope." When they'd finished presenting the gift, the choir, made up of 40 ministers' spouses, stood to sing. And they began to sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. I want to remind you tonight, our hope is not found in what the government can do for us. Our hope is not found in what the local government can do for us. Our hope is not found in what somebody else can do for us, but our real hope tonight lies in Jesus Christ. For it's on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When everything else falls apart, thank God there is a God in heaven who has implanted within our breast an everlasting hope, and that is a thing that keeps us steady. There is a second thing that I call your attention to tonight. He offers to us the assurance of His abiding presence. Matthew writes, chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Isaiah writes, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." There are times when we get discouraged. And the enemy comes to try his best to defeat us. But I want to remind you tonight, we do not have to make shipwreck. If we find ourselves down, look up. We have assurance that the God who created us walks beside us. Anna and I were in the Solomon Islands just about 3 years ago, and in a district assembly. I've listened to hundreds upon hundreds of pastors' reports over these years. But I listened to one of a middle-aged man who had walked 3 days and had boarded a boat and had to stay on that thing 3 days to get to a district assembly. His average income was $12 a month. It cost him $12 of his own money just to catch the boat and to get there. He came. In his report, he said, "I came with one thing in mind. I was so discouraged in my church. I came to resign. I was going to quit. I was going to resign from the advisory board. I was going to resign my church. I was going to give up the ministry." But he said last night in that service, and we had a marvelous service, altars were lined. That group would get up, go back, and another group came. That group got up, and a third group, including young people, came. He was among the group. But he said last night, God spoke to my heart and assured me that He was with me. And I'm going back and give it my best. One thing that I always wanted in revival meeting was a period of time where our people, you've been so faithful, and I appreciate it, would come to the realization anew that regardless of what we face, there is a God in heaven who gives us assurance. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The songwriter penned the words so beautifully when he wrote, Jesus will walk with me down through the valley. Jesus will walk with me over the plain, when in the shadows or when in the sunshine. If he goes with me, I shall not complain. Jesus will walk with me. He will talk with me. He will walk with me in joy or in sorrow, today and tomorrow. I know he will walk with me. Well, let me give you the last. He offers to us heaven when we come to the end of the road. I want to remind you tonight that heaven is real. It is not make-believe. But heaven is real. I remember years ago when I taught school, I was assigned the playground duty every so often. And on the playground, there was a merry-go-round. The kids would push that thing and then hop on and just go round and around and around and finally get off. I've heard them say, well, I'm going to New York. I'm going to Chicago. And in their make-believe world, they would spin it around and around. I was walking through the mall here in your city yesterday, and as I was walking in that little cart that's in there for kids to ride, I saw Grandma with two of her young ones. One in the front, one in the back. The quarter goes in and it starts leaping. And they're holding on and in a make-believe world. But heaven is not make-believe. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare it, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is a place where shadows never come and summer never ends, where roses never fade and fruits never decay. It's a place where disease never invades and death never divides in land, a land where there are no tears and no goodbyes. Heaven is real. But heaven also means a release for the people of God. A release from toils and burdens and worry and weariness, sickness of every kind. And then I moved back to South Carolina when I retired in 2000, and her mother was in a nursing home not far from where we had bought a home, and we wanted to be there. Nana was traveling a lot, and I had just made up my mind I was going to slow it down, and I was there and could go see her. And I would go 3 or 4 days a week, and what a delight it was. I'd go in, and there were times when I'd walk in and she'd have her Bible. In fact, when I went in to see her just a few weeks before her death, she had her big Bibles. She was seated in a wheelchair and had the Bible open. And when I walked in, I said, Mom, what are you doing? Of course, I knew what she was doing. Oh, she said, I'm reading the good book. I want to know more about Jesus. I'm going to see him before too long. And it wasn't, we didn't know that in about 6 weeks she would go home to be with the Lord. It just so happens that we were both there at home when she had to be taken one night to the hospital and never to come out. We were right by her bed, and I stayed right by her bed all night, every night but one during those 9 days, and only go home to change clothes and back, and we were there. On the morning that she died, during that night, she was conscious and she kept saying to me, I was holding her hand on one side and Nana was on the other, and she kept saying, Moody, can you just help me breathe? I said, Mom, we're doing everything we can, and the doctors are doing everything, have done everything they can for you. Nana would pray, and I would pray. Then about 3 o'clock in the morning, she made the crossing. And when she did, I looked at Nana and I said, honey, while we hate to see her go, it's a release. Struggling and suffering, these things are over. Aren't you glad that the toils of the road will seem nothing when we come to the end of the way? Heaven means tonight a reward for services rendered, for all that you do for Christ and this church. We don't work our way into heaven, but I don't believe that the things that we do will go unnoticed. The Bible tells us that God will look after those who serve Him. Heaven means a reunion. Aren't you glad God is preparing a way for us? Loved ones and friends that have made the crossing. Fanny Crosby in her latter years, she had written so many songs in her day, but in the latter part of her journey on earth, a man came to visit her. She was blind when she was just a small baby. The doctor put the wrong drops into her eyes, and she lost the sight of both eyes. This man looked at her and said, Miss Crosby, I'm sure it's been a lonely world. You have never seen a beautiful smile. You haven't seen a beautiful rose or a beautiful sunset. Her response was, but sir, if I had my life to live over, I wouldn't change a thing. For you see, now the first thing that my eyes shall behold will be the face of my blessed Redeemer. Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair, but Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away, all tears forever over. In God's eternal day, it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. With this, I'm through. D.L. Moody, that great evangelist of yesteryear, wrote in one of his books, "One of These Days," you're going to read in the newspaper that D.L. Moody is dead. He said, "Don't you believe a word of it." "Oh," he said, "I may be dead in the flesh, but I'll be more alive than ever. For you see, the first thing, those that I know are more alive because of the Spirit of God that dwells in them." Aren't you glad that even death can't stop us? It's to be ushered into His presence. I've got news for you tonight. The saints of God are going to gather. They're going to come from the east and the west and the north and the south. They're going to come from the various tribes of this world and dialects. From all parts, they're going to gather to crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want to be there on that coronation day. I don't know what they're going to sing, but perhaps it's going to be "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Let Angels Prostrate Fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all." I'm going to make it, aren't you? My mother passed away when I was still in my teens. But after God had called me to preach and we'd gathered, my four other brothers, my dad would gather around the family table. We were going different ways, college and different things, and the dad was going to be left by himself, basically. And that day, as we sat around the table, I said to my two sisters and my brothers, "I don't know what you're going to do, but I just want to remind you, my mind's made up. I intend to follow Christ, so that when life's races run, I can hear Him say, 'Well done.' Made a lot of mistakes and a lot of blunders, but He's been with me through it all." We're going to make it, aren't we? I'd like to close this service tonight and with a note of inspiration. Don, would you come and lead us? I don't know if we know that chorus, it will be worth it all or not. But if we do, why don't we stand and sing that tonight in this closing? And it is going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. Praise His name. Let's give Him praise and honor and glory. It will be worth it all. Praise His name.